do you get the most out of an experience of a lifetime? This is Love Your Work, and I'm David Cadavy. I'm here to help you find the courage to carve your own path. Love Your Work listener Gustav Dybeck is a design student from Sweden. He has an opportunity to do an internship for about 9 months, and he wants to make the most of it before he starts his career. And you may have heard a clip a couple of episodes back on Gustav's favorite moment on Love Your Work. He was in Medellin a while back, and since I personally originally pursued a career in design, Gustav was interested in hearing what I thought he should do for his internship. So we talked about it in a cafe. A quick warning, there's a lot of background noise in this. It was an off-the-cuff idea to record our conversation. So this episode is a bit of an experiment, but I think there's some valuable stuff in it. We're going to talk about experiences abroad. Do they really make you more innovative? Working for prestigious firms, is it really worth it? If you don't pursue a prestigious firm, what should you pursue? What one experience did I personally have early in my career that completely changed my perspective about what I wanted to accomplish in design? And when you don't have a clear path to follow, and these days, who has a clear path? Who wants a clear path? When you don't have a clear path to follow, you have to be prepared for whatever comes your way. I recently took a trip to the Pacific coast of Colombia to watch humpback whales, and I was so glad that I had my Pistol Lake shirt with me. We had to take a little tuk-tuk, the sort of three-wheeled car from the airport, and then we took a little boat to our hotel, and it was raining, and the boat had holes in it, and they were just spraying water up, so I was getting drenched in every direction. But the U-Day blend of recycled bottles and eucalyptus tree pulp dried super fast, so my Pistol Lake shirt was ready for a hike through the jungle, complete with machine gun-toting escorts from the Colombian Army to a giant waterfall. So go to pistollake.com/loveyourwork now and pick up their minimalist shirt. They're giving Love Your Work listeners 10% off with the promo code LOVEYOURWORK. Wear it for 100 days. If you don't love it, they'll refund it, no questions asked. They'll even recover return shipping. That's pistollake.com/loveyourwork. Use the code LOVEYOURWORK. And as this episode is released, I am currently in the Los Angeles area at the Podcast Movement Conference. I make the investment of time and money flying all the way from Colombia so I can make this podcast better and so I can reach more of you. And my trip to the conference last year may have probably contributed to Love Your Work being featured on a big banner on the front page of iTunes a couple of months back. My face and the face of Danny Mikowitz from episode 75, we were in between RuPaul and Mark Zuckerberg. It was really cool. And I think that feature also had a lot to do with Love Your Work being included in the Spotify directory. And more of you are listening on Spotify each day. Growing the show depends upon breakthroughs like getting featured on iTunes or getting included in Spotify. And it's really hard to engineer those breakthroughs. But if you roll the dice enough times, things start to happen. And conferences are a great way to get a lot of rolls of the dice. So those of you who are investing in Love Your Work Elite, we have some new things. One, there is now a patron-only RSS feed on Love Your Work Elite. If you visit lywelite.com and you're logged in, you'll see the feed on the top right. You can use this RSS feed to access all of the audio on Love Your Work Elite. You can plug it into your favorite listening app, and it will all be right there, just like the main Love Your Work feed is. You're going to get early access to episodes and ad-free interviews. And there are now audio versions of the masterclasses. We just added a masterclass with Purnima Vijayashankar. Purnima was engineer number one at Mint.com, which sold to Intuit for $170 million. Purnima will show you how to make money off your idea from day one.
And I've seen this happen time and time again. You know, developers like, oh, I can like whip this out in a weekend or, you know, in 10 minutes, whatever. And then, you know, puts it in front of a customer only to discover that that was not what they wanted and ends up using a lot of time or resources building the wrong thing.
To get access to that masterclass and everything else in Love Your Work Elite, visit lywelite.com. That's lywelite.com. Here's the episode.
So I want to do my internship abroad, and I wanted to ask you because it's so long, like 9 months. And I felt like I'm thinking of dividing it up to like maybe being at three different places, like 3 months at each place or something like that.
What
do you think about that? Like, maybe like learning different companies or different design studios way of solving problems and kind of seeing three different perspectives in a way, or like three different ways to tackle problems and kind of see how you would gain, like, what I can bring with me from the different problems. Yeah.
Will these be in different cities too?
Like what I would like, I don't know if my work will, but I would like to be a part in US and a part in South America, if that's possible to solve. Yeah, it's also cool to see kind of, I think you learn a lot living in South America or something for a while and learn a lot about yourself.
Working is important. I think in Adam Grant's Originals, I don't know if you've ever read that book before, but they were talking about how, I don't know what the study, who they were following, but the conclusion of the study was basically that if you have experience living abroad, it doesn't necessarily make you a more innovative or original thinking person. But if you have experience working abroad, that does.
All right,
then you really get to see how the different cultural aspects shape.
I think you mentioned sometime about the ads and stuff here in Colombia. It's not like
I wonder how it is for me, because I mean, yes, I'm living here, I'm working, but I'm working mostly just like making stuff like I always do, but I don't know, maybe I'm sure I'm not getting like the full experience, and I'm not like working as a with Colombians and etc, but living here I do notice that about I get to observe advertising and behavior of people and what's important to them, and I can contrast that with people from my own place. And actually, that's one of the things that I like about living in a lot of different places, is then you can use that to construct sort of a view or theory of everything about the way the world works and about human nature.
Yeah.
The more that you get to live in a different place, the more you get to observe, the more that you can have a more complete picture of what people are like in general, and then you can use that for in product design and product
development. Yeah, but I also think like I can bring something, a new perspective as well to South America, if I do internship at the Brazilian or Colombian or something, I can also bring in a new perspective in a way.
I mean, what are like the main questions in your mind as far as your career goes and the experiences that you're curious about that you just don't have the information yet?
I would say that's like the first kind of my plan to divide it into two or three shorter projects, if that's a good plan. And also kind of...
do you have an idea of like what your main questions are, or is it like you don't know what you don't know, and so
you just want to learn
as many different experiences as possible?
Yeah, exactly. I kind of like in my career, the things I like is like the UX or design tech intersection kind of.
Yeah.
And I kind of want to explore that more, so I'm also thinking if like I should maybe do half of the internship as more of a creative technologies thing, and then a half of more like a more UX
One thing that's interesting, or a thing that I kind of like wish that I knew when I was in school, design school, was that the firms that everybody wants to work at, I mean, it's nice, you can get it on your resume, and I never really worked at one of those firms, so maybe I'm not the best judge, but I mean, I definitely was close to working at various firms that were very prestigious, and everybody who I was in design school with wanted to go work for those firms, and you go and do this informational interview, and then they offer you some internship for 6 weeks that doesn't pay anything, and they have prestigious clients and everything, and the world moves so fast that by the time a firm or something is prestigious, then in a way they're kind of juicing it. The original thinking happens, the truly original thinking happened before they became who they are. And so now they're this big thing, and now people are lining up to work for them for free and do grunt work, like things, which is was a common thing with just the types of design firms and advertising firms that I was looking at when I was when I was going leaving school. So that might be to experience the contrast. What is it like to work at one of these prestigious places where people are falling over themselves to go work there? And then what's it like to work at some place that's a little more, I don't know, like you meet them and talk to them, and you can tell there's something going on intellectually. And this is hard to find. There's something going on intellectually with them where you're like, okay, these people think for themselves. They think in an original way, but they're not prestigious.
No, exactly.
So what's it like to work in those two different places? That would be interesting. I mean, if I was just given the choice, I would choose the latter. I think the prestigious ones, like, by the time anything is prestigious, it's too late. It's already jumped the shark.
Yeah, that's the kind of, as you say, I kind of like the latter as well, but the thing is finding those kind of opportunities, but doing some digging, I guess, is the best part.
Design is one of these things for me that I was really into it. I went to school for it. I kind of figured it out to the point that was interesting to me. And then now it's just another feather it's just another arrow in my quiver for communicating and processing my understanding of the world, etc. So it's not particularly that interesting to me anymore.
I
can certainly identify with being out of school and having an idea of what design is or what's important in a career as a designer, and then learning that everything that you thought was important about a career as a designer was just BS that was fed to you in design school, which was my experience.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, it was. I mean, I was more in like interface design and wasn't a big deal. I was certainly doing web design, but everybody that I was in my class with, it was all about, oh, Communication Arts Magazine, and go work for this prestigious ad firm, and go work for this prestigious design firm. And I remember there was this one design firm in Omaha, Nebraska, who they were like the best design firm in Omaha, Nebraska, which was not an impressive thing, but to me it was like, all right, well, that's a place we can get an internship. And I called them every day, like trying to get a hold of the main guy there. And I called seriously like every day for like 2 months. I would talk to the receptionist for 45 minutes sometimes. Like, I got to know her and stuff. Eventually, like, one day he calls me. You can tell he's like in his convertible or something. Yeah. And he sets up an interview for me. I go in. The guy's like a zombie and is just like falling asleep practically, talking about, oh yeah, we did 80 billable hours last week. Looked miserable. And, you know, I didn't end up getting an internship there. And then I ended up, one of my first projects that I did out of school, I got into this magazine that was the prestigious magazine that everybody wanted to get into when we were in design school. And I'd flip through that magazine and look for design firms that I could go knock on their door and call them and email them and try to get internships there because I wanted to work there. Yeah. And then I got into that magazine, like, the first thing, and I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be great. My career's going to, like, totally take off. People are going to want to be my intern and stuff. Yeah. And then, you know, it was, like, not that fulfilling of an experience. I realized after a while, I'm like, oh, I won an award. Like, and I realized, looked around at myself and looked around the people that I was admiring, the designers I was admiring, and I realized, like, this is their whole career. This is all they do is they want to win awards so then they can, I don't know, use that to get more clients or feel good about themselves or get more free interns or something. Yeah. And I was like, I threw that award away when I moved here to Columbia like a year ago. I just threw it in the garbage. I took a picture of it, but I threw it in the garbage. Like, it means nothing. And it was funny because I remember also being out to drinks one night in Omaha, and this is after I had won that award, and it was I was a couple years into my career, and I was talking to one of these guys who worked at that firm that I had tried to get a job at, and he's like, hey, you know, you're the type of person, it'd be great to have you come work at the firm. And it felt so good, one, to have
the firm
want to hire me, and to simultaneously be like, I'm good. I didn't need to say it that way.
I
lied about it, but it was like to feel in myself like, oh, I don't want that. because now I've learned how much brainwashing they were doing of me when I was in design school.
Yeah.
So watch out for the brainwashing. Watch out for basking in reflective glory, which is like, I think it's like a thing that happens in design where you're like, oh, I can't believe I'm in the same room as such and such designer. And just getting caught up in the scene and making and getting a sense of accomplishment second or third hand out of other people's accomplishments in your field, which aren't even really necessarily accomplishments. It's like, what do you want your work to do for, you know, like, yeah, maybe you're fascinated by UX and maybe that's enough for now. But at some point, you're going to want to find meaning in your work, and like, where is that going to come from?
Yeah, I mean, the thing that got me started was kind of the whole thing of working in IT support and seeing all these clients calling in with problems that are like, they have like error message that's just like a 5 or something like that. It's kind of, with SAP, it's kind of, there has to be a better way to kind of make this so people can understand and don't have to call us in and like take hours of their day to call us in that IT support to solve problems, because it's so bad design that people don't understand what's wrong.
So using design to make the technology
more
accessible.
Usable,
yes, yeah. Yes. Do you have any more clarity at all
of companies
we've talked about so far?
I mean, I think that it's really interesting the things you're saying with your experience about coming to a prestigious company and then realizing that that might not be the goal, or like that might not be what you thought it was in the beginning. And I kind of feel like when I'm going to go up, like what I feel right now when I'm going to go and look for internships is more of a, I want like a, what do you say, not differences, yeah, differences, but what is the English word when it's like two opposites, like almost opposites, but like working for a big company maybe and for a while, and then going to a smaller one, maybe working in North America where the culture is roughly the same as in Sweden, and coming to South America or something like that. That's like my dream overall. But
yeah, I mean, this is making me think that right, probably as many different experiences as you, I mean, you might have ideas about things that you know you're not going to like, yeah, but as many different experiences as you can have. And that's kind of the point of an internship, really.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Is to, and I think that there is a, there's like a limit. Like if you go to, if you work 27 different jobs 1 week each.
Yeah, you're not going to.
You know, that might not be that valuable, but working one job for 9 months, it maybe isn't going to expose
you
to
what you want. Yeah, because I feel like, yeah, the thing that I'm still like a student and kind of, I don't have that much like salary, I don't have that much demand on salary or something, so I'm kind of free as an internship. I'm not gonna, hopefully not gonna work for free, but my salary demands are not that high and stuff like that, so I'm kind of I think I have a lot of room like there to kind of explore different and being able, using that as an advantage in a way, to kind of seeing different opportunities and kind of that's what I tried to do in school as well, like taking roles that might not, like, I'm a bit uncomfortable with, or like scares me a bit, but try to like
a lot of variety.
Yeah, exactly.
So it sounds like you should get as many experiences as you can.
Yeah, exactly. I'm gonna,
it is different of environment, different geographic location as possible.
Yeah, exactly.
I hope you got something out of my talk with Gustav. Whatever stage you're in, maybe it helps you think about how to make the most out of your opportunities and avoid getting blinded by prestige. Listen to Hugh McLeod on episode 61. Hugh became famous drawing cartoons on the back of business cards. He'll encourage you to find your own unique way of doing things.
As soon as something or somewhere or someone becomes a thing, that thing loses its power, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when I was a kid, people moved to Austin because it was cool. But now people move to Austin because Austin's now become a thing.
Again, Hugh is on episode 61. Or listen to Vinny Loria on episode 59. Vinny went backpacking in Asia and ended up starting a venture capital firm in Singapore.
And basically, it was supposed to be like an hour kind of coffee. We ended up drinking all afternoon. And by the time I left, he had me convinced to leave IBM and move down to Brazil and live there for 6 months. So I try to be like that now when I meet young people, just to be inspiring to say, you know, there is a different world than what we feel is we're taught and what is normal. And you just have to jump.
Again, Vinny is on episode 59. I work hard to help you crack the code on fulfilling work. If Love Your Work is helping you, there are some ways you can help support the show and make it even better. One is to subscribe. This is especially effective on Apple Podcasts or iTunes because it boosts rankings and helps others find the show. I know many of you listen on Overcast because you're the early adopter types. So even if you don't listen on Apple Podcasts or iTunes, please subscribe there anyway. Subscribe in your iPhone, your iPad, your Apple TV, your computer. The more devices, the better. It really helps. Apple Podcast ratings help too. Just go to cadavy.net/apple, click on write a review, and click on the star rating. You don't even have to write a review. It just takes a couple of seconds. You can also join Love Your Work Elite. You'll get access to episodes before everyone else. You could even get ad-free interviews weeks in advance, and you can get your name or business mentioned in the credits of the show. For details, go to lywelite.com. That's lywelite.com. Love Your Work is brought to you in part by top Love Your Work Elite members such as Arif Akhtar. This has been Love Your Work, and I'm David Cadavy. The theme music for the show is More Streets, performed by Spiderflower. Love Your Work is a production of Cadavy, Inc.